Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
So-called sex reassignment does not work, and here is the evidence. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber and Holly Mead. Well, you can't really reassign your sex. We all know that. You're biologically born male or female. All you can do is go through invasive plastic surgery by removing certain body parts or trying to reconstruct others, and taking hormones of the opposite gender. But at the end of the day, your sex is what it is. But it's called sex reassignment or sex reassignment surgery, or SRS. And there's a great article that has been published, and we've done a lot of research on this ourselves. There's lots of material out there. How the evidence is now coming forth, overwhelmingly so, that it simply doesn't work. Obviously, it's impossible to reassign someone's physical characteristics and their DNA particularly. And there's a lot of stories now, Matt, coming out of individuals who have gone through this hormone treatment and surgery, and they have regretted it immensely. And some things that they've done to their bodies are irreversible. There's one story of a woman by the name of Debbie Kramer. She was sexually abused, and she wished that she now wished that she had received some kind of counseling before she made a decision. She's now 61 years old, and she was born female and ultimately wanted to identify as male.
She began to hate her body because she
began to hate
abused.
Her body. And sometimes that happens after sexual abuse, where you want to do harm to your body, or you're ashamed of your body and you have anger or hatred against your own body, and you have this gender identity confusion that sits in.
Right, her father had abused her.
So after struggling with her identity for years, at the age of 44, Debbie Kramer sought out gender reassignment and changed her name to Lee, and she claims she began testosterone treatment just a day after she visited a private doctor about her decision, before having her breasts removed just 3 months later, and then after years of various operations, she broke down. And when she woke up after undergoing her final surgery, she then began to realize later this was a big mistake.
And, you know, she says, I know things are a lot better than when they were when I had surgeries, but there is a big lack of talking therapies.
Yeah, and Dr. Paul McHugh, distinguished service professor of psychiatry at Johns Hopkins University, we've cited his studies on this multiple times. He has pointed out that the suicide rate among post so-called sex reassignment surgery people is 20 times higher than that of their peers. Roughly 41% of those who have gone through this mistake, this horrible mutilation, end up either killing themselves or attempting to. It's tragic.
But, you know, in the media, they turn that around and they make it sound like if they don't have all that, then they're having suicide issues. But it's just the opposite.
Yeah.
When you're pushing them toward this hormone treatment and these surgeries, instead of helping them deal with the root issues, that's when they become suicidal.
And then when faced with that reality of the 41% suicide rate, the 20 times higher, they say, well, that's not because they went through the surgery. That's because of so-called, quote, transphobia, close quote, and because the culture does not accept them, which is, of course, nonsensical.
Yeah, so The Guardian actually reported on some review of more than 100 follow-up studies, I'm talking about studies, not just individuals, of post-operative transsexuals by the Birmingham University Aggressive Research Intelligence Facility. And they say the Aggressive Research Intelligence Facility, which conducts reviews of healthcare treatments for the National Health Service, concludes that none of the studies provides conclusive evidence that gender reassignment is beneficial for patients. more than 100 studies. None of them can show that they provide benefit.
Any benefit.
It goes on to say, it says, it found that most research was poorly designed, which skewed the results in favor of physically changing sex. There was no evaluation of whether other treatments such as long-term counseling might help transsexuals or whether their gender confusion might lessen over time. And then one of the individuals, the director of the facility, said, quote, "There is a huge uncertainty over whether changing someone's sex is good or a bad thing. Even if doctors are careful to perform these procedures only on, quote, appropriate patients," close quote, Chris Hyde, this director of the facility, said, "There is still a large number of people who have the surgery but remain traumatized, mm-hmm. often to the point of committing suicide." So, you know, we're battling all over the country these laws that try to prevent individuals from getting any counseling. These are individuals who seek counselors that are professional, licensed counselors because they have unwanted attractions. They are engaging in unwanted behaviors that they don't want to do, or they have some kind of gender confusion that they're experiencing. They seek out counselors. And what we now have is 18 states plus the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico have passed laws that say you can't get that kind of counseling. And we have nearly 60 local governments that have followed suit that you can't get that kind of counseling. They don't want people to get any counsel.
Yeah. The kind of counseling that Debbie is crying out for,
right.
saying that, she does not have access to the talk therapy that she needs, which is exactly for political purposes that they want to silence. They want to stop this talk therapy that is so desperately needed.
And, you know, we did a press release not long ago about a doctor who went to observe at one of these gender clinics, which, you know, are increasing now. And she said that it's kind of like a assembly line, you know, they get you in there, get you on the hormones, you know, wear the surgery, but there is no one on staff that does any kind of counseling. No one.
Right. And Walt Heyer just recently wrote a book and he went through that same process as well. And he actually went through surgery, born mm-hmm. male, wanted to identify eventually as female. He also was sexually abused when he was younger by relatives.
Do we see a pattern here? Yeah.
Yes,
yeah. And
absolutely.
So he's got a book where he talks about some of the people that he talks to, some
every
like Debbie
helps,
who
yeah.
had gone through the hormones and the surgery, and others who are considering that. And he also says that there's this quote unquote honeymoon type of temporary time period where when somebody goes through the surgery, there's this honeymoon, and then it goes back to the problems that they were wrestling with before they went through the surgery. But by that time, they've already mutilated their bodies, and much of what they have done to themselves cannot be undone.
You know, Matt, you and I interviewed Laura Perry recently. Same thing.
Same thing.
She dealt with feeling abandoned by her family, by her mother, and so she decided she wanted to be a man. So she went through the surgeries and the hormones and all that and just realized she was empty. You know, she lost her parts, but she was still empty inside until she found Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well, this woman, Debbie Kramer, that we talked about, she's took hormones. After taking testosterone for 15 years, she's female. She stopped in February of 2019, and she started taking estrogen 6 weeks later, under the watch of specialists at the NHS, the National Health Service, and she also went to a clinic. And went to this organization called the Detransition Advocacy Network. There's actually a network now in Europe yeah. called the Detransition Advocacy Network. And it's for individuals like Debbie who have gone through these hormone treatments and surgeries, and now they are no longer content and they want to go back to how they were originally born. And so she has been and working with that group and going back, and she regrets. She says, "I wish that I had had some opportunity to talk to someone." And as you heard earlier in the program, she started this road pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening, particularly even with youth today in the public schools, that they're being pushed down this road rather than looking at other alternative treatments that could address long-term stresses in their life, like counseling. They're being pushed down this road. And some of these things, hormone blockers, hormone treatment, surgery, some of those things cause long-term side effects, irreversible situations, health risk, and even death. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, lc.org, and pray for us as we continue to fight for the right of individuals to get counseling and for counselors to provide good counsel to clients. We have cases around the country where we are fighting for these rights, and it's just a matter of time before we get one of these to the Supreme Court and overturn these bad laws across the country. Go to lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. lc.org.